On this meeting, the Development Commission to order for Wednesday, June 16th, 2021. Please set your phones and whatnot to stun, please, and let's stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is Lambert, roll call, please.
Here.
Tom Beverley.
Here.
Anthony Brothers.
Here.
Derek Mills.
Here.
Dave Castellano.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
Levon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. Next up for is the approval of the minutes for May 19th, 2021. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, make a motion to approve the minutes May 19th of 2021 as presented.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second, any discussion? Be there or none. Mr. Wickler, I understand I can't do a voice vote. It's all have to be a roll call.
Can we say yes at this point?
Roll call, Mrs. Lambert on the minutes.
Yes.
Tom Beverley.
Yes.
Anthony Brothers.
Yes.
Derek Mills.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Levon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, next up on the agenda is the chairman's report. I think that's still me. This is a $275 million man-made flood control project that if it is not maintained, you'll see by Mr. Daniels, the yellowing pictures, like just like his shirt, are starting to show what happens if you don't pay attention to something that's an engineered man-made project trying to work against Mother Nature. Now, we're far more prepared now as a collective community in making sure something like that never happens again. But again, this is having to do with Mother Nature, and she gives us 10 gallons for our 5-gallon bucket. We're going to have some issues, but we're far better prepared today than we were prior to that event in 2008. Let's not lose sight of why we do this and what we're trying to make sure the next generation of folks here in the region that need to benefit from this economic development project is to go ahead and make sure we don't do these types of things again in the future. That is why those things will continue to stay up here as long as I draw a breath. That's it. Next up is the finance report. We need to approve some claims. I need to hear a motion.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of claims for June 2021 in the amount of $646,440.68.
There's a motion to approve the claims. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Pick one, Mrs. Lambert. Mr. Repe.
Leading the pack again, this month is Earthworks with 285 631 for the Rock Ripple project that we're fast approaching completion. 41,340 for Patrick Engineering. Why am I going out? For their engineering and project management. A couple Hasse Construction for 28,450. That was for closing the river for the situation going to, we're closing the river going to the east. So they worked over the weekend on that. And then Town of Griffith reimbursement for $150,000 for Katie Marsh Ditch O&M. Lake Station at $26,500 from a reimbursement of Viking Village Engineering, which was approved by this board. Other than that, there were some small ones. The Greater Indiana Tile was a request by the Corps. We picked up properties on tax sale. They wanted to make sure that those titles were clean after we picked them up from the tax sale. We assured them, however, they wanted us to have a title commitment done on them. So we obliged, and so those properties will all be considered credible once we approve these claims. If there's any other particular questions.
All right, back up to you guys. Gentlemen, is there any questions with regards to this line item, Mr. Repe?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Dan, the $26,500 for Village Viking Watershed for Lake Station, that's just engineering.
Just engineering.
Construction to come.
Yeah, and construction to come. Just engineering and just the number that we capped it at. They actually sent us a bill that was higher than that, but we capped it at the amount that was agreed to by this board.
Gentlemen, anybody else? Either no, we have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Ritchie?
Yes.
Tom Vesprey?
Yes.
Anthony Brunick?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Costelano?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
Levon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Next up is Executive Director for Executive Director's Report. Mr. Repay?
So as I mentioned, we are wrapping up the Rock Ripple and Lake Station. Those of you who know, we originally had this designed for a levee system, and then that the last bit converted into more recreation and some levee. So there's some gaps that we need to address in the whole development, mainly from Liverpool Road to the north, about probably 300 or 400 feet. There's a gap there. We're working, and I'm working with Paul to improve the lighting. Lighting was never a part of it because we thought it was going to be a levee, so we didn't need a parking lot. So now we have a parking lot, so we need some lighting from dusk to dawn and some security systems. So Paul is helping with some sketches and managing that aspect of trying to improve it so it's safe and people are using it and not dumping.
Is there electric already running in that spot?
There's electric nearby. We'll have to get a new pole service, but
how come the Parks Department's not doing it?
Well, we believe that Lake Station is going to take over that, but we want to initiate it because otherwise what will happen is we're fast approaching this completion and people are going to start utilizing it. And my belief is it could get trashed pretty quickly. I mean, not to mention there's some safety issue in my mind, and probably Paul's, that at the corner of 29th and Wyoming, there is no light. So if you're going down 29th Street, and you don't are not familiar with it, you could literally probably run right into the whole thing. So it's just one of those. Yeah, it's just one of those things that we know that was sort of missing from that development. So there is some opportunity. We're going to have to look at it probably during one of our work study sessions as to what we would like to see and what the city would like to see in that area. I wish I could bring it up on the map, but it still shows as...
About the pictures that you have of the project?
It's still not going to show, it's still not going to give you a good show. And like, you have to be above to see what this is or be on site. It still shows the mobile home park. So it's not going to be, it's not going to get us to where we need to be. But something that we can look at in the near future. We also need to look at whether we want to do any groundbreaking, ribbon cutting, or anything like that. That's your decision.
Are you proposing to put above ground poles?
There is going to be
above. Cleared everything out?
There's no other. I mean, the poles are on Wyoming.
Right.
So we're going to have one additional pole at roughly the corner of 29th and Wyoming.
Can't they run it underground to the pole so we don't have the stuff hanging in the air?
It's
right
literally
now, there's nothing there.
It's probably 20 feet. Where's Paul? 20 feet, Paul, from the old pole that does service the neighborhood.
That's exactly 62 feet.
Oh, well, there you
it's
go.
It's going to be above ground, but that's the way NIPSCO wants to do it.
They always want to do it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because it's so easy to do it above ground. But if we don't want it above ground,
they work to go underground. It's cheaper to go above. It's not going to be anybody's way. It's going to be right near 29th Street. To pull right there to the parking lot, and it should be fine because they can get a nice view of the bridge for the cameras for Wyoming and also the park.
Dan, just look at the number of what it would take to get it put underground, just to have that for.
We will do that.
Governmental purposes.
Sure. Spring Park is. We've seen some ongoing emails. We had some confusion with the Army Corps wanting us to fill out a 408 permit. We believe that we are excluded from that 408, so we're moving forward without the 408 because we don't impact the levee. We do not impact any wetlands. We do not impact the mitigation area.
I'm sorry, where's Spring Park again?
Which is the Chase Street water spring. Yeah.
Oh, water spring.
The natural spring.
Got it.
So that is ongoing. To design it and get up and going here and finish by the end of this year.
Can the Corps shut us down?
You bet.
We're moving forward. Okay.
And maybe they're on there. Right? Is the Corps on this meeting anywhere? We invited them. Hard ditch paving is complete at segment 5-2, which is the segment by Wicker Park. Those of you that bike or go around Wicker Park, that's the segment that was up on top. That was also the segment that was overbuilt that we had to cut back about a foot and a half so that the water wouldn't go into the neighborhood as opposed to going into the park as it was supposed to be designed.
How many years have we been working on that? Is this like 3 or 4?
Well, we
shouldn't take that long.
We explained to them that we thought it was wrong. The really the telltale was 2018 when they start sandbagging the wall on Hawthorne. We did the project, but for the paving last year, but it got too late in the season to pave without, you know, trying to have some bad paving going on. Right. So they paved it. It's good. It's at the right height. And just in time for our inspections, which will start taking place next week on Monday. Monday is Munster, Tuesday is Highland, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are Hammonds. So that will be the last round of inspections for this year. So we've finished all of Gary, all of NDOT, all of Griffith, and now this will be the remaining part. So basically everything to the west of Klein Avenue will be inspected next week. So hope for some good weather. Along with that, Griffith and us are coordinating on clearing out the deep tunnel project that runs along Arbogast from Katie Marsh to the Little Kennet River. It's about just over a mile of a 9-foot culvert that needs to be dewatered. It needs to be cleared of stuff and videotaped so that the integrity of that culvert is intact, and that is required by the Corps every 5 years. So there's a group from Southern Indiana that does it. We will be participating on the demucking side, and Griffith will be shutting off flow from the Katie Marsh after tomorrow night's rainstorm. Then they will stop it, and it will take about 4 days to fully drain that with a pump on the opposite end. So we'll be pumping the water out of the culvert as well. Working with Lake County Surveyors on two projects. One, the hard ditch stabilization. They're promising us the final costs and expenses on the last stabilization project, along with the design for the new stabilization that will occur this year, along with their permits. And then we'll also be working with them on the Rosser Lake fix, where that Rosser Lake is approximately 3 feet higher than what it should be. And we're going to drain it in a manageable way to reduce the level of Rosser Lake and improve a lot of those homeowners' lives over there that are adjacent to Rosser Lake. Our Autobahn partnership, Derek and I were fortunate to be in a meeting on Thursday to talk about our partnership, where they are looking for in the future, and they will be presenting to us next month for additional monies for like their phase two funding, which is implementing what they presented to us in April, which are the stop logs and the improvement of the outflows in the Rookery as well as the area off of Georgia. So with that, they have a long-term plan that they are looking at improving the area north of the railroad tracks between Martin Luther King and, what is that, Central Avenue, roughly, where they want to reconfigure the way the river flows to our farm field and as well as Gary Park's farm field. And so they're working, that's going to be probably a 2023 project that they're going to do, but they want to talk to us about it. Between Derek and I, we thought the best time for them to come in was more of a slow period for us, which would be around November, so that we aren't in the middle of inspections and every other construction. So that's what they have agreed to do. So besides, we're scanning a lot of old agendas, minutes, meetings, getting rid of old plans. We've got the Burr Street closure, which, by the way, Mr. Chairman, you have to sign. They made all the amendments to that agreement that will take out human intervention in Burr Street and Gary. That will be a one-day project, estimated cost of $50,000. We are also looking you could also look at the mitigation projects that I gave you copies of. Both of them are winding down very quickly. Hobart is going to be turned over in October. I talked to Tom Swinford from Indiana DNR. He's in the natural resources, the lands chairman or director. He's been there since Ron was there. This has always been the goal, what we would be paying for the ongoing maintenance. We just couldn't own the land. DNR owns the land. And so there will be an interlocal being sent to us, he said, in July for a cost. And at the cost, I would guess, would be in the $30,000 to $40,000 a year range so that they can keep up with the invasive species, so they can pay people to clean the area so that it doesn't become no longer viable and the court's eyes acceptable. So beyond that, we've got a couple possible projects with Gary Sanitary District with some sewers extensions, and probably the last project, although I don't know very much about it, is the Kennedy Avenue Bridge, which supposedly received funding out of a congressional committee, still has to go to the full House, but that is on a path of probably being approved out of the House sometime in the summer, and the Senate's a whole other ballgame, so that's just something to keep an eye on, but nothing yet confirmed for that. So that funding is for just over $8 million of federal dollars. And that will be an NDOT bid if it's successful. It'll be working through NDOT on that one, not through the Army Corps for construction, if it's successful. Beyond that, I don't have anything else unless you have any questions.
All right, gentlemen, any questions for Mr. Repay?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Repay, you said you're looking for direction on the sewer extensions. Can you give us a little bit more information?
Yeah. Now, let's see. I should have it up here. Let's see. I sent myself a picture today, so. I think I gave it to you in your packet,
the picture in your packet.
And if so, I'm going to try to show it here if I can get it to work. It's a culvert sitting in the middle of water. Well, just so you,
this isn't the same one, is it?
Let me see what you got. I'm trying to work. That's the one, correct. So if you remember, we did all these manhole extensions inside the river. They failed in 2008, especially.
These are the ones that the Corps designed too low inside the river, so the river drained into the sanitary district.
After the manhole surcharge popped off, and so basically the water started flowing in through the manholes into Gleason Park and flooding IUN. So we went back probably 4 years ago and they elevated all these out of the, you know, above the 200 year, and also vented them so they wouldn't have that pressure problem. So GSD has now identified two manholes similar that are on the outside of the river. One is located along Chase between the expressway and their pump station. One is located at IUN, once again, on the outside. We didn't do it because it was on the outside. It had, you know, there's no impact to us, because the only time that we are concerned is if the river was to go through these pipes. They're asking us if we can do it, do those two for them on their behalf.
How would they be disrupted to allow, and where's the water that's going to contaminate the system coming from?
The water for the one off of Chase comes off of 94, I-94. And it comes off between Chase and Broad. Is it Chase and Grant? Right. So that's where the water flows along the side of the expressway, ultimately runs along a drainage ditch and gets into the river this way. When the river's too high, the gate shuts off. And so at that point, potentially, I've never seen it, but it gets up high, but doesn't get up as high. So they're wondering about that issue. The one off of IUN isn't the only thing that's feeding it is those parking lots off of IUN. So between Broadway and Harrison, there's that little parking lot south of the 33rd. or north of 33rd, between the main campus and that small parking lot between our nature preserve. There's one there, but when we did an assessment, we didn't look at them and we didn't think that they were going to cause any big problems for us. That's why we didn't do them. Otherwise, we'd have just done them because it was the right thing. Our goal was that we just did all the ones inside the river.
Well, sure, not in a major event, it won't could knock it off. Are they experiencing problems with vandalism or?
No, I mean, they just asked because it looked in disarray and they would just like it. They know they saw what we did and they liked what we did. So that's what they would like.
So why don't they just do it? Excellent. Are they asking us to pay for it or are they asking us to do the work because we've done the work before? And then they're going to pay us back for it.
Yes and yes.
Yes, but not the last one.
Okay.
Why should I pay for it against somebody else?
So we had talked, Mr. Repay, after the Hammond Pet Bridge, that all of the communities along the river were going to fill out applications if it was outside of the Little Cal's project purview. Is this something that would fall under that banner?
This is would be considered in the land. It would be in our easement. It's in our easement, so it's.
It's an easement means it gives us the right, to make it on.
But it's on land. It's on the art ditch for the land side of the levee.
It's on our ditch. What? Is it an easement? Or do we own the land?
No.
All right. We don't own the land, and we don't own the structure. And then,
correct.
Okay. So this is something that a governmental entity is looking for some assistance on.
That's correct.
So they have to come in here and do like all these other folks have to do and go through the application process and say, here's what we'd like to do. I mean, that's my opinion.
Well, I'll inform them that. It does.
I mean, does anybody see that as different? I mean, we had talked about this before.
We did talk about that. That's your direction, I guess, right?
That's fine.
Yeah. I'm telling them to come and ask formally.
They'll fill out the application. I mean, I get it.
What is it?
It makes perfect sense, but there should be paperwork for something like that.
It's probably less than that.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's like.
It's encasing it, pouring the concrete with the vent.
I remember the draw.
Maybe it's also track bodies around there.
It's maybe, I would guess, 15, depending on material at this point in time, I don't know.
Each.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was my standard message that we will send to communities that wants items like this outside of the river. We've probably talked recently about other items here that need to be addressed the same way, that to be consistent, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
Across the board. And then, you know, we didn't talk about whether or not we should set a number on it as it relates to regular maintenance, but it's maintenance within the confines of what we've done in the past and try to do that. But I'm still of the opinion on maintenance on projects that we do, they should just keep coming back and wanting us to keep it up. That has part of the deal was them as being a community that has that particular project would have provisions to take care of it once it was corrected. And that really should be part of either local, in my opinion. But to back to your point, this would all fall under that banner. Fill out the paperwork, how is it gonna do, what's gonna happen, how many people is it impacting? And then we have that trail for people in the future to see when the last time it was worked on, my opinion.
I mean, the source of the water for Chase Street is very minimal as opposed to where the source could be if it was inside the river. The source is only the outside of 94, which is a lot of water, but not when you tip the one off of Leeson, that's a big problem.
I understand. I mean, it's a GSD thing. They're responsible for the maintenance of their system, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's all I'm asking. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on the
exam? No, I know why
Mr. Castellanos.
Dan, as you remember, we had over maybe about 40 or 50 people along with representatives and from Gary and from our surrounding communities for the spring park cleanup. And a number of people have been asking me about what are we going to do? When are we going to get this thing going and having it built? As you remember, while we were out there doing the cleaning with some of the representatives who are here at this body, there were people coming out there filling up their bottles with water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm under the opinion that we should just forego the Army Corps of Engineers, whatever their issue is, because usually dealing with them, it takes over a year and a half to get something done. So I'd like to see this body move on it and just send out bids in order to have this construction done for this spring water to be built before the end of the year.
Once the plans are done, you'll all get a copy, and that's our plan, it's to keep moving forward. I don't think we're impacting them. Their environmental guy, Greg, doesn't believe we're impacting the thing, the area that it is. And I agree with you, it does take quite a bit of time to get a four-way permit through for such something like this.
Well, my question is, do we really need a four-way?
Well, we're going to find out soon enough because we're going to go forward, and there's going to be potential that they may not like that.
But in the interim, you have not told the design firm to slow down.
No, they slowed for about a week and a half while I was having communication with the court. And at that point, I said, I feel comfortable, let's just keep going.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay about what's happening in the field? I got a couple on the project tracker. We've got some of these projects that are getting close to 100%. I mean, is there any, time frame in moving these out, closing out these projects? And is there earnest money on most of them, I take it?
Do you have any in particular? Because I don't have my glasses enough.
Sorry.
So you saw something that's 100%.
So suck it up and help me with this.
All right. Well, Sowerman Woods design is done. They're going out to bid. That's at 95%. I don't imagine anything else working there. Hard ditch. Well, I really get old. Hard ditch stabilization. As I said, they're going to close out those projects here for us here soon.
Soon.
Like soon, July. He said he was supposed to get us the bills by June, but he had some other.
When will be closing out again this construction season?
Yeah, Sowerman will be closed.
Right.
But it should probably be closed at this point, maybe. Lake Station, storm management is still going to be ongoing. The village, Viking Village, is at 100% now. Sunset Boulevard, Cherville is at a ongoing billing. They are consistent with their billing cycle. Deep River Native Prairie, that's they're going to spray some for invasive. That's our prairie that we're going to build off of 29th and Wyoming. So that's still ongoing.
We expand the spraying to kill some of the chilling acres of other invasive species at Sarami's projects while we're spending it. Is there any way to extend the work?
Yeah, you just have a bigger check.
Yeah. Derek, while they're out there doing it, I mean, why are we expanding? We talked about it. Moving into NDOT, if we're doing this ditch, why are we killing the invasive species while we got a bunch of boots on the ground?
Yeah, I'd be happy to take a look at it.
I mean, is that something that causes challenges to you, Mr. Repay, as far as getting some of this stuff done as we get into every one of these ditches while they got invasive species in every one of them? Why would we just fold that on top of it?
Well, and Derek will tell you that just by spraying them once isn't going to solve the problem. It's an ongoing thing, and that's why we have that agreement eventually for the Hobart project. Is it's going to be ongoing. You just can't spray them and get rid of them.
I understand, but we got every journey's got to start. So, you know, that first step is at least getting it moving forward. That's the whole point while we're spending money fixing stuff.
All right, and I was going to finish. Autobahn, 80%, they're going to give us a closeout here in the next month. Lake Station acquisitions are done, as far as I'm concerned. More acquisitions should be done, but for the couple that David mentioned, that he has to do, and then the overbuild for Burke will be closed out now that they paved it. So a lot of them will be closed out, I would imagine, going from at least 95 to 100%, or if they're done at 95%. There's really no holdback. The only holdback that we have is for Lake Station at this point, and that's to make sure that we have substantial vegetation growth in the areas that we need, so it's not just barren land. So they've got to, you know, we're holding back 5% of the contract, but the contract was $4.4 million, so we're holding that back at this point in the hopes that vegetation will grow. Now vegetation is going to be kind of difficult to grow in the middle of June when it's 90 degrees, so more than likely that's going to hold until the fall. So
thank you. Rock Ripple, is that going to be all about the parking lot?
Rock Ripple is the dam.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you said that again.
Mm-hmm.
So we also call it the dam and rock ripple and lake station, right?
It's all interchangeable.
Okay, I was just trying to, you know, give you a scorecard. All right, anything else from Mr. Repay? All right. Next up, Dan, do the introduction for a presentation from the city of Hobart on Stinky Creek and Turkey Creek Lateral 6 Diversion and Regional Stormwater Project. And this would be an application. It's already gone through the advisory board, Mr. Repay.
That is correct. And you did a great introduction of it. And Phil Graylick will be here for the city of Hobart. And I'm sure he's brought several guests that will give us a presentation. He gave a presentation to the advisory board this past Thursday on this project. It's going back to a old friend of ours, Stinky Creek, but also now incorporating a little bit of lateral 6. He will basically talk about how the water will be expedited down to deep river as opposed to going through the many channels and diversions that it goes to currently. And I think he'll have a plenty of numbers and pictures, because they said that you really enjoy the pictures. So with that, Phil is logged in now, and so he'll be sharing the screen and do the presentation.
Well, thank you all for having us this evening. With me tonight, we have Councilman Chris Wells, who represents this particular district in the city of Hobart. The mayor is on his way, so hopefully he'll be here by the time I'm finished and can maybe give some closing remarks instead of introductory remarks. We also have Daryl Knipp and Max Freylander from Avonmarsh. There we go. Sorry. Is that better?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So as we're talking, this is we were here several years ago talking about the Stinky Creek and our plans for it. To refresh your memory a little bit, the 707 acres shown on the screen is the headwaters of the Stinky Creek watershed in the city of Hobart. That 325 acres in pink to the west is the headwaters of Turkey Creek Lateral 6. That flows under I-65 through part of Gary, then through Maryville, into Turkey Creek, back into Hobart, into Lake George, ultimately Deep River, and we'll talk about that route a little more in a moment. What we have is this 700 acre watershed ultimately flows through a couple of culverts. This is one. It's a swash pipe. It was probably originally 30 inches wide and maybe 21 inches tall. It's corrugated metal. There are a couple of 48 inch culverts that go under the railroad. To give you a perspective of this, we have a county line road project right now where we have a smaller watershed with a 5x8 box culvert to take the 100 year storm. And we're trying to fit 700 acres of runoff through a 48 inch pipe. This is a decades old problem in Hobart. In 2018, the city hired a company to fly a drone over this particular area. Because of the winds and the rain, they got out there during the storm, so they weren't able to capture the entire area, but they got one area in particular that is illustrative of what happens here. That culvert that I showed a picture of is underwater here. It's not even a factor in this. It has overtopped the street. The street is gone. It is going through a 48-inch culvert under the railroad. And if you look closely up here above the railroad, you can see where the water has spread out into the neighborhood. That neighborhood to the north is Crestmore. The neighborhood on this side of the tracks is Villa Shores. Many residents have provided photos. I have photos that I took over the years that I've been city engineer. This is one where this particular lady sandbags her door anytime a half an inch of rain is coming because she knows that her house could be in danger. And she has had water in her house multiple times. This is another area further down stream. The Stinky Creek was in the original 2013 comprehensive watershed plan that the commission did. I think it was number 4 on our list, not priority, just the order we spoke in. It was in there. This is Hillman Heights. This particular subdivision, it with, you know, half an inch to an inch of rain, you see that, there's feet of water in these people's yards. It happens so often that NIPSCO is replacing the transformers here because they are submerged when the pad mount transformers on the ground completely go underwater when we get a big rain. So NIPSCO, their solution is to raise those up, obviously, because they're concerned about that safety hazard out there. We have 67 homes of the 850 in the study area have documented flooding of rainwater getting into the home. And that's just in the Hobart area. I picked these two pictures to just kind of illustrate, you know, what's going on, but there were plenty more. I just didn't want to, you know, take too much of your time tonight to go through it. So this is a small rain. This is the culvert I originally showed the picture of under Geyer Street. This was less than half an inch of rain, and that street went underwater. So all this to basically say, but I forgot the note here. There are 34 streets in this study area that go underwater regularly during large rains. Some of them even during small rains, like Geyer Street. This next one, 34th Place, is one where here, fortunately, it didn't overtop the street, but we barricaded and closed it because it closes so often. We were being proactive and trying to get out there. Our plan, when we updated our stormwater master plan in 2017, was to build a storm sewer network in this area. We were going to replace those culverts. We were going to upsize things. We were going to enclose the creek in a pipe and get it out of these people's backyards so it's not flooding their houses and their garages. The total cost in our plan at that point was $7.5 million. And I put the numbers on here. Hillman Heights is the number 10. That's where the NIPSCO transformer pads are being raised. Number 4 was Stinky Creek, and number 11 was a different part of Stinky Creek behind the old Eagle shopping plaza there on 37th Avenue. The thrust of the problem is in that yellow circle, and I kind of drew the blue line on to show you where where Stinky Creek is right now. So in 2018, the Hobart Stormwater Management District issued an RFP for some additional study. I had questions about some of the downstream impacts of the proposed solution from Robinson Engineering and our Stormwater Master Plan. So we wanted to do some study and make sure we weren't going to move this flooding problem downstream somewhere. And we also wanted design services because at that time we issued a stormwater bond to build the trunk storm line. We couldn't afford $7.5 million. We issued about $3 million worth of the bond for this area. Abbott Marsh and Christopher Burke responded to that RFP, but they proposed an alternate solution that I hadn't thought of, and I like that. So ultimately, they were selected by the steering committee of this because they proposed a new option, and that option was essentially a diversion tunnel to take this storm water instead of just putting a storm sewer in place of the creek and following the creek and sending the water to the east, to take it almost due north out of the city of Hobart through Lake Station, through New Chicago, directly to Deep River, and to short circuit miles of travel distance. During the study phase, we took all the data we had from our stormwater master plan. We held public meetings, we sent out questionnaires, we talked to people. We documented these flooding instances where street, yard, house, whatever it was, mapped it. Christopher Burke did an XP SWIM model of the watershed. We had them go out, and Abbott Marsh went out and located every piece of stormwater infrastructure we had, got the rim elevation, the invert, that was all put into the model. And the model actually shows very accurately, in my opinion, the main areas of concern. That the large red area here is the end of Geyer Street, and it is a huge inundation area. the NIPSCO transformer pads are down here at the south end of the Hillman Heights subdivision. This area here is a city park. Our fire station number two is right there. People at times, we have to cancel softball games for days after rain because the outfield is ankle deep in water. This area over here, people have sump pumps in their crawl spaces. There's one house on Ridgeland that has four sump pumps that run 24/7 just to keep their crawl space from filling up with water. So ultimately, after the initial study phase, determined that the proposed route to the north was feasible, the idea came up in one of our meetings to look at Turkey Creek Lateral 6 because we thought we had enough fall to get the headwaters of that lateral to go north instead of through all the communities and back through Lake George. And it's one that this commission and the county have had to deal with. There are hundreds of beavers out there. There are just all kinds of problems. That one, that Turkey Creek Lateral 6 in Hobart was number 14 on Hobart's list in the Comprehensive Watershed Plan back in 2013. So what the study came back with was essentially two routes here. We went through multiple iterations. I think there were four alternates we considered, different routing. This one broke it up into an east and a west route. So the east route is the black lines that would essentially collect the water coming through Stinky Creek at Wilson Street, which will prevent it from even getting to Guyer, where the worst flooding is, and take it north through part of Lake Station and then into New Chicago, where it will outlet in a ditch and head for Deep River. The blue line to the west is the Turkey Creek Lateral 6 reroute, if you will, and that will collect the water that otherwise is going to go into Gary, into Merrillville, and then back into Hobart. In the future. So right now, the model shows that it would be a 72-inch diversion pipe, and it would divert 33.1 million gallons for Deep River during a 100-year event and reduce that travel distance by over 5 miles just for Stinky Creek. The Turkey Creek Lateral 6 would divert 51.6 million gallons and cut a total distance of 19.4 miles off that travel time. Now, that 51.6 million gallons is 1 foot of water over the entire surface of Lake George. So, you know, even just ballparking what that is, it's probably 6 inches or so of the flood elevation that comes through Hobart in Lake George. Because, you know, there's going to be, it's not just a foot of water sitting there. It's going to rise. There's going to be that wave as it surges through. But this project in total diverts almost 85 million gallons and cuts 23 hours off the travel time. And if you recall, when the commission had SEH model Deep River, one of the things that modeling showed was that Deep River will surcharge up the Little Cal. And it will start to store water between the levee systems when it can't get out of Burns Ditch. Taking this, you know, 85 million gallons is over 10 million cubic feet of water. And if we can get that 10 million cubic feet of water in Lake Michigan before the peaks hit on Deep River and the Little Cal, and we have them fighting it out at the confluence, that helps all of us. So we're here tonight because this has become a regional project that benefits this commission and all the communities that the levee system protects, because I believe it will lower the peak water elevation in there. It obviously benefits Hobart. It's going to give us an outlet that we can then do pay-as-you-go projects and send storm supers down the side streets and collect this water. It benefits Lake County because it's going to remove a lot of water from Turkey Creek Lateral 6. That by itself benefits the town of Merrillville and Gary, and I know Marable's done a lot of work and has a lot of detention in place along Turkey Creek Lateral 6, but if we can take this water off of them, the millions of gallons, it will just enhance what they've done. It's essentially equal to a 250-acre foot detention basin, and it benefits Lake Station in New Chicago because it'll give them a stormwater outlet for issues that they're having. So we're here tonight to ask the commission to partner with us on this project and to get the design of it completed at this point in time. We've already started, as I said, we already funded the study and did it and have gotten it to this point where we have some alternatives and we have some cost estimates that are in the application that we turned in. But we believe this is a project that, honestly, we can't do this without the commission's participation. So without help, we're essentially back to our 2017 plan of storm sewers through the neighborhoods, and we lose the opportunity to shave some of this peak flow off. So, any questions?
Man, thank you. Gentlemen.
Yes, I have. Go ahead.
You go.
So Stinky Creek drains south into Turkey Creek. Is that true?
No, Turkey Creek Lateral 6 does. Stinky Creek actually drains northeast. So it is, if you're familiar with Hobart at Wisconsin Street, it is.
No, no pictures, huh, Phil? You're going to tell me
I can go there on our GIS if you'd like. If you know what I'll do, I'll back up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Stinky Creek actually, the better at one is probably our stormwater plant here. So this intersection
where is Turkey Creek Golf Course and where is the Innisbrook Country Club?
They're in Maryville. So they're on the other side of I-65. All of this is east of I-65.
Okay.
So this is the Wisconsin Street 37th Avenue intersection right here in Hobart. And so all of the northern edge of this drawing here is 37th Avenue Ridge Road, former Highway 6. And Stinky Creek flows northeast following that blue line and ultimately just east of Wisconsin Street. It crosses under 37th Avenue and then flows on the north side of it and converges with Deep River just on the north side of 37th Avenue. Right. And then all that water flows through Deep River and through Lake Station, and it makes the long loop to the north.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The benefits effectively are 67 homes and 34, other than the regional benefits that you described, 67 homes and 34 roadways, correct?
It is, but it's also more than that, because when people call with a drainage complaint in this entire study area, I have had conversations with, I can't tell you how many people that, okay, I see that I could fix your yard flooding with a simple fix, but the problem is that water is going to flood somebody's house even worse. So while we have those 67 homes, there are so many yard flooding problems in this area that honestly we're using as detention because we can't let that water go. So we have hundreds of homes that have issues like that, but it is, you're correct, 67 homes that get water in them.
And out of the 850, you studied them all and you have 67 that have documented flooding.
We have the questionnaires, we have photos from them. We met with them at the public meetings, or they called us at City Hall, they've called the consultants. There could be more. Those are just the ones that
that was kind of the essence of the question. Do you know for a fact that none of the other 700 odd or whatever, 80 something, don't have?
We can't say that for sure. I've seen water lapping against the cinder block of different crawl spaces and basements, but those people haven't responded to our surveys or anything. And it could be that they're renters, and there could be lots of factors, but we're sure of 67.
Thank you. Also in the attachment 4, I think this is Avamarsh. This is the benefit or cost benefit ratio. It says that 21 residential structures, average property value of 200,000 is the projected benefit of 4.2 million. I had a question about how you came up with that. Like $200,000 is probably the entire property value. Are you saying those structures are going to be either totally demolished, or I didn't understand how you came up with that number.
I think one of the proposals, one of the feedback we got Honestly, from this commission, last time we were here was, well, what if we just bought the homes? You know, what if we just bought the four homes at the end of Dyer Street and raised them? Is it worth spending $3 million for those four homes? And I think that's where that logic came from, that these
potential purchases?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. All right. I have another final question for me.
Yeah, that.
Okay. I mean, we know where we live, Lake County, south of Lake Michigan. A lot of low-lying areas, you know, East Erie, Lake Station.
It's a swamp.
Over, it's a swamp. How much are we fighting nature? I mean, I think about the topography of our area. I mean, and I kind of like the tunnel idea, because whatever the topography is, you're going under it, right? So how much are we fighting nature with what we're trying to do versus other options? I mean, it sounds like you had some options or an idea, and then Burke and
Avon Marsh.
Avon Marsh came up with
it. Engineers, they're going to want to engineer. Come on.
That's what we do.
Well, the striking thing of this is that these are the headwaters of four different sub-watersheds right here. This is the hilltop that we're having this problem on. We have 17 feet of fall from this area to Deep River if we go north.
Okay.
And so by doing this, we're going to short circuit it. If I've gone back and looked at Google Earth history and, you know, other historic photos, and you can clearly see Stinky Creek 50 years ago. You can't find it today. It's just, there are parts of it that are gone. I actually accidentally drove into it. I could pull the photo up where I was driving the NIPSCO right-of-way through this area and didn't even see it coming. It looked like it was flat, and I buried the front end of my truck up to the axles and had to have a backhoe from Public Works come pull me out, because it is that sedimented in. Mm-hmm. And but it's organic, so it couldn't hold, you know, my truck. And I think what we have here is we have a hilltop that has at least 70 years of a lack of maintenance in the ditches. And rather than try to reestablish those ditches, because there are some nature projects that have happened, some green infrastructure, some prairies, the DNR has property in this area. Rather than trying to reestablish all that through those areas, by doing this, we get a positive drainage outlet from the hilltop to the river in a much easier to maintain manner.
Yeah, I guess that's the challenge, is the maintenance long term, because
yes,
naturally you would just reestablish the creeks, the ditches, right? Because mm-hmm. That's how the water wants to flow anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be more and more impetus on communities all over the country and world, really, to do just that. But that's a sidebar. Anyway.
Anybody else? Is that it?
Mr. Chairman, I've got a question.
Go ahead.
Phil, I heard you mention other communities. The proposal is really just focused on Hobart, and I'm sure the communities of Lake Station and New Chicago also experienced some flooding in regards to Stinky Creek. What is their participation in this proposal?
The only one we've talked to about participation was Lake County. And that was part of the thinking here as we broke down the East and the West Lakes. We tried to make it, one of the factors that led us to go with this is there's almost a clear county lake for Lateral 6 and a clear Hobart Lake for Stinky Creek. We're not expecting any financial participation from New Chicago or Lake Station. I know they have issues, but
how about the participation? Is the image that you have up now? I can actually see the community boundaries, and it looks like those two projects merge along the NIPSCO power line or utility corridor, and it dumps yes. into an open ditch.
Yes.
Which then dumps into Deep River. Mm-hmm. So, but for in order for your community to get the water there, there needs to be projects on the ground mm-hmm. in New Chicago and Lake Station.
Correct.
So I'd be interested to know what their intent would be if or participation, because without that community, you just dump the water into a new community.
Right. We have their support.
Okay.
We've reached out to them, but not, you know, they've made it clear that financially they're not going to be able to
have the moral support.
Pretty much, yeah, that's where we are. So, and that's another reason we're here, because this is a multi-municipality project, and it's something that the commission is geared for. I don't mind leading the project and, you know, managing it, seeing it through. We're happy to do that, but having your backing, your gravitas, your participation to help us.
Go ahead. Has the other communities expressed any issues similar to the 64 out of the 800 or something that you've identified? Have they identified any issues with, whether it's what was the 48 inch on figure eight, I think it was, the culvert? Do they have issues with culverts sort of backing up or?
They have issues. I don't know their specific ones. Lake Station has Structure Point doing a stormwater master plan similar to what we did right now. So we've been in communication with Structure Point about that, but I don't have any data from them to say exactly what problems this would fix in either of them. I don't think they're that far along.
Okay, I think that would be very helpful, because I kind of had questions that from the last time that I think you answered in this presentation regarding the pictures and the number of homes that were impacted by. I kind of was looking for some of the like the 48 inch that was on. Can you go back to figure eight? Can you show the picture of the two culverts in the yard? I think that was one of them.
Yeah, I think it's back here.
That one previous.
This picture of the culvert?
You got a label figure eight on here. It's not that one. It must have been the first one that you brought up on there.
Okay.
The application?
Yeah.
It's in the application. Actually, you got a label figure five. And there's another one on figure eight as well.
And to multitask, is this entire project currently estimated at $13.7 million?
It is, yes. And we have discussed ways of possibly doing that in phases. You know, perhaps doing Stinky Creek, that phase first, getting it in the ground, getting it operational. I mean, obviously, that's the one Howard is the most interested in. And then following on with the Turkey Creek Lateral 6 work. You know, as a follow-on project, it could be, even if we did it all at once, it's a multi-year project. But I don't know any contractor that would try to build this in one season.
What's the existing routine maintenance, I guess, that's my question, that you do on your culverts?
We clean them, we inspect them and clean them.
Okay.
You know, that one, that photo I took today, we're going to have to get out there and remove. There's a chunk of asphalt that is somehow there now. Okay. So we're going to have to get that opened up. And I texted our foreman in that department this evening about it.
Okay. And I'm just thinking from sort of meantime between failure, how often the frequency of the accumulation and all those things that are associated with causing perhaps the backup, their frequency of removing sediment or frequency of removing, whether it's whatever this blockage is, just that you identified.
Yeah, our goal would be to clean them every 5 years. Okay. Is our for a culvert or a storm sewer. Catch basins, BMPs, separates, our hydrodynamic separators, we do every 2 years right now.
Okay.
At a minimum, but
so that's a deep cleaning. That's not just the guys that are just doing eyeballs on the projects and just take a look at them as they're going by. Because, there are beavers in that area, trash gets in there, and stuff happens.
Yeah, and before every storm, we send our guys out because, they're looking for leaves on the catch basins and debris that could be plugging things and trying to get it out of the way before that storm comes. Inevitably, we don't get it all, and we get those calls about how my yard's flooded. And it's just because the weeds plugged up the beehive.
It's everywhere.
It is. Yeah. And it behooves us though to get out there and try to get that done. So the drive-bys happen almost on a per storm basis. If we see there's, the remnants of a hurricane coming, we're scrambling for a day or two trying to get ahead of it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I do have a couple other questions.
Absolutely.
You get over here.
I think at the very beginning, you said the headwaters for Stinky Creek was 700 some acres and 300 and something for lateral six?
Yes, 707.
Is there a topography difference, significant difference? Because I think you said you're going to move 33 million gallons of water in the Stinky Creek. It sounds like two separate projects. I guess I'm trying to get my head around. But then 51 million gallons for the lateral six, even though it's half the area. I'm trying to make sure I understand how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Those are true statements, right?
Yeah, they are. And that is what we have here. Daryl just said, it comes right out of the PERC XP swim model, but I think that's a valid question for us to take back to them.
Okay. And like the 34 roadway flooding problems that you've identified, do you know if they're mostly from one, you know, sub watershed or the other? Like, are they mostly from Stinky Creek?
Mostly from Stinky Creek.
Okay.
Yeah. For us, it's, you know, Stinky Creek, like in the photo here, this is immediately on the north side of the railroad tracks. That's 34th Avenue. It goes under every major storm, but every street along that ditch, you know, goes under as well.
Right.
And that's kind of what led us to, well, okay, if we just to be very pipe there, we could, you know, keep these open, keep it from, you know, eroding away under people's garages. And, but the majority of those, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're on the Stinky Creek side.
Yeah.
Lateral six, essentially, that area is just an expanding wetland, swamp, bog, whatever you want to call it, where we've had at least four homes that I know of that have been abandoned in that area, because while it used to be farmland 50 years ago and they had dairy cows and things out there, as sediment has blocked the ditches, as you know, I-65 went in and beavers have dammed culverts under the railroad in the 65, it's just gotten wetter and wetter to the point that, you know, people gave up and left.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Street, my understanding is, used to extend further south, but it is essentially gone at this point. Even the pavement has crumbled and been lost, and parts of the right of way are underwater now.
Two more questions. One about property permitting, stuff like that. Do you get good on those, or do you need them? Or?
Well, we've spoken to the schools, we've spoken to the DNR about their property out there, we've spoken to NIPSCO about their corridor, and that to us was kind of the clincher, because that is a huge north-south corridor. We have three or four unimproved right-of-ways where streets were platted as parts of subdivisions that were never built because it was too wet. So we have quite a bit of the right-of-way. There are, of course, you know, a missing piece here or there, but for the most part, we can build this in existing right of way with just
no railroads you're going under or anything like that.
I'm sorry,
no railroads or anything like that.
There is one railroad we have to get under, and we have to get under 37th Avenue.
Okay,
so
permit,
with
the railroad. And then the other, you just I was going to ask you this question, so it was a great segue. It was about development, you know, as you were talking about things. Hobart is the friendly city is growing. Mostly to the south, but do you consider effects like this in your, you know, development plans going forward? Because that's something we always ask about.
You know, we consider it. I don't know how great the development potential is out here. I do believe there could be some infilling of different lots that exist that, as they dry out, they could become buildable. A lot of this area, it has been bought up by different conservation groups to be maintained, much like the Hobart Marsh.
But like south of there, are there areas that could be affecting this area that are further south? But that's kind of the essence of the question. Are you constantly creating the same problem, so to speak?
For the most part, this watershed is about as developed as it can get.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fair.
May I add to that?
Yes.
The Crestmore Country Club. Now that is being developed.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is, yes.
That is in Stinky Creek's watershed?
It is. It is downstream of all these problems.
Okay.
But yes, that you're correct.
Okay. Phil?
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. Phil, first of all, I want to say that I think you presented an excellent report with Alvin Marsh Group on presenting the issue of the problems. I just wanted to know, has the city considered other funding sources besides us? And as the other members have stated, the question is, what would be the economic impact? I don't know if you can answer that question now, once this particular problem or this situation is resolved. That's all. Thank you.
I, just off the top of my head and kind of off the cuff here, I think the economic impact is just to maintain really what we have out there right now and not have more houses that wind up being abandoned and ultimately have to be torn down to just prevent blight there.
And what about other funding sources? Any possibility from the state or federal government besides us as a funding source?
We're always watching for that. And just, you know, in the 8 years I've been trying to push this project forward, we haven't found one yet.
Okay. Is anybody looking?
We're always looking.
Okay.
We always are.
Okay.
And like I said, we issued about $3 million in the bonds to pay for that trunk storm sewer ourselves and basically do half of our stormwater master plan project. And we were going to do it and put it in the ground. And then this idea came up and made us step back and say, wow, this really could change this and several of these watersheds for the better of all of us.
Thank you.
I have a general statement. You guys, we were in Hobart and they presented a lot of ideas on a lot of different things a few years back.
Right.
And the lowest idea came to the top with regards to the railroad bridge at Old Ridge Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make sure, you know, is this its highest priority or is this the lowest hanging fruit? Is there something out there that's more that could be more important that would aid it and looked at this in a holistic approach? And I don't need looking for an immediate answer, but you know, it was like, okay, here's this river bridge, and oh, we can't do that project because the railroad never approved it. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, we pushed it through and it got done.
Mm-hmm. I honestly think we've explored all the alternatives. We've looked at retention out here, we've looked at detention. We've looked at, you know, mitigating it through different green practices. We've looked at different routing scenarios for storm sewers. We've talked about ditching it. We've, you know, even through the tax sales and things, we've been acquiring some of the lots in here, which is part of the area that we show, you know, some potential. I think it's detention in the study, maybe the application, but to me, it'd have to be retention. But, you know, they all have their problems because one thing I didn't point out is the groundwater in this area is between 1 and 4 feet deep, which is why even crawl spaces have to have multiple sump pumps. So the more water we retain on this site and infiltrate into the ground, the more we exacerbate that problem.
One of the discussions that mm-hmm. ensued at that meeting that we had a few years back was put a deep tunnel down 51 mm-hmm. and basically, I won't say rerouting Deep River, but relieving it of that course
yeah.
through that would come around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's all kinds of. A couple of years ago, you guys had problems with the dam. You know, does the dam have to be rebuilt or has it been rebuilt? Things
good
of that
repair.
Nature. And that,
yeah.
those are concerns that we.
Yeah, and so we did address, so outside this watershed, when we did our 2017 stormwater plan, you know, we looked at the entire city, both Hobart Township and Ross Township, and developed that plan. And the reason we had to do that was we had completed the capital improvement plan of the previous stormwater master plan. And we were just knocking these projects down, but this is a big one that our district by itself can't swallow. It did come to the top of our funding, and when we came here and you know, basically we're told no as far as participation previously, we went out and got the money ourselves to do it anyway because it is what needs to be done. And now this opportunity, kind of like the railroad bridge, where you know, if we just thought bigger, we could have seen that. And I think that alternate from Evan Marsh and Christopher Burke was that moment where someone was thinking bigger and thinking, hey, you know, don't just think inside Hobart how you're going to route this storm sewer. you could go through New Chicago and Lake Station and really do something extraordinary, but we can't do it alone.
All right, hold on a second, Mr. Grillick. Mayor, thank you for coming. Would you like to speak on this behalf, sir?
If you would afford me a couple of minutes, I would love
to. Absolutely. Sorry it took me so long.
That's all right. Councilman Wells is here also, that is the councilman for the area that we've been talking about. You know, the one reoccurring theme that I get when the board is addressing this is the regional impact, not just the impact of Hobart, but how does it affect Lake Station, New Chicago, unincorporated Lake County? And this truly is a regional impact. You know, I don't know if we're blessed or cursed that the city of Hobart, you know, has so much water that we have to address coming into our community and then going out of our community to get back to Lake Michigan. So I appreciate this board's serious deliberation of this, and the questions you ask are on point. And I think Phil did a pretty good job of addressing some of the questions that have been presented by the board. I just appreciate the board willing to take this under consideration. The railroad bridge has been a tremendous, tremendous impact in getting water out of Lake George. And so kudos to this board for having that vision and having the knowledge to know that that was going to be a tremendous help. And this would be also the Stinky Creek. Every time we get a serious rain, I know the calls I'm going to get, and I know now the councilman gets along with me. And so anything that we can do to work, and I know there was asked about other funding initiatives. I know we've looked at the SRF loans and different ways to try to get other funding. But this is a tall challenge with the cost of this project. And we would just ask for your serious consideration. And I appreciate the support.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely, Councilman.
This is my second time coming to you guys. After I got elected, I first came here, introduced myself to you guys right away, and kind of said to there, the one picture you saw there, the boot up there on one picture, that's actually my boot at my grandma's house. Yeah. My grandma lives in that area, and I wear a size 15 shoe. It's a 10-inch tall boot. So you can see how kind of tall the water was in that area. I know Phil's got calls about 86 house set, but the first check I got for being a councilman, I went out and bought a sump pump and 150-foot hose. And whenever someone calls me and says, I have water in my basement, it's flooding here again, I take brand new sump pump and the hose and the extension cord, and I'm like, here you go, and take care of this. And we try to take care of it because that area, there's more than 86 houses. There really are. That area there, we have Georgia Elementary School right there, which is our pre-K school and our kindergarten school, which is right at the headwater of this area here. Turkey Creek Lateral 6 runs behind Ridgeview Elementary School, and of course the cemetery over there, and that is flooding too, and Brown Street floods there. I live at the intersection of Lateral 6 and Stinky Creek, so I get it from both sides, and my sump pump has been replaced 6 times in the last 8 years. I buy the lifetime warranty one because the water just comes in constantly. My sump pump is running today, and we're in a drought, but my sump pump is running today. And that's just one of the spots we look at where this area suffers greatly. And I have newspaper clippings from 1997 of the lady who's the first house you saw where she had about her yard there, about her being flooded dead. And it just keeps going on and on. And it's something that we really help with is in that area. And I probably call Phil the most anybody because I keep on getting a feel like, well, we get this in, we get this in. So anything you guys can do to help us would be great because there are, in that area right there where this house is at, there's 300 some houses in that area that I know go through flooding. The street that goes in front of my grandma's house looks like she lives in Venice when we have an inch of rain. So when that happens, you can take a boat down our street. And all until this area here gets cleared out, because those 40-inch, you know, culverts are not enough to cover it.
And this is going back, Councilman, to the late 90s.
Yeah, it goes back, and you know, it keeps like it's just got worse and worse as time goes on. As Phil was saying, as
more houses, more hard surface,
and then when you have the you know, natural sediment come through there. But looking at this, because this water goes out here, goes down six towards the Strachan Till on 51 there. That water goes all the way out there and turns. If we can take it straight north and hit the river past there, we're going to save all that land at Lake Station as well. So it's going to bypass a bunch of areas that have low land already. So it's going to help my area immensely. And it's going to take all the area downstream and cut that off and drop the water off closer to the area you guys just did on Liverpool Road. And that's going to be so much better for everyone. So, again, appreciate your guys' time. Thank you.
Thank you. I had a question. We went back, you know, you're dumping this. Let me start again. Theoretically, this is going straight north into Deep River. Where will that access Deep River, and what impact will it have as it goes directly straight in as opposed to meandering?
It will go into an existing ditch here along the Nipsco right away. So from here, there's an existing ditch that travels all the way up here to and hits
Deep River. And that's open ditch?
Yes, it is.
So this is going to take it from how it's set up now and going to an existing open ditch, and then that open ditch is going to access the Deep River right there at the bow, for lack of a better
correct
description.
Yes.
And then has a study been done as it relates to how much water would go through that and how that would impact that section? Because then that's just, for me, I'm thinking, are we pushing too much water straight into Deep River to get to the confluence quicker? And how will that impact the challenges that we already have, as you know, and are well aware at that location? Because we're really trying to focus on that because that's the intersection of the Foreman and I-65.
Yes.
And that gets everything out. And then as that gets more and more congested, obviously it backs up everywhere. So
exactly.
And has that been part of the analysis?
It has. And that's what we believe the benefit of this project is. All this water, this 10 million cubic feet, will be through that confluence, through that area. It'll be out in Lake Michigan before that problem manifests itself when the peaks of Little Cal and Deep River are fighting to get into Burns Ditch.
So the pitching goes first and it gets out there quicker.
Exactly. So by diverting this water and circumventing that 20-mile course, we get this water out of here and into Lake Michigan. And the river can handle it because it handles the peak. This is minuscule compared to what the peak flows of Deep River are. So it's not going to overtax the Deep River or Burns Ditch. It's just going to give it a new, smaller amplitude wave that's going to go downstream and get out into Lake Michigan before the two peak flow waves try to converge together right there at the border.
And then my next question was, it's interesting because we've seen a lot of engineering studies. What's so special about this one that's $1 million?
Well, this is the study already in there that we've already paid for.
Is it the design?
This is the design.
So is it the design just for the ditch thing we talked about, or is it for all of the other street work that would have to be done as a part of auxiliary work?
It is the design of essentially what's on the screen right now, the blue and the black line. It would be the permitting for that, dealing with the railroad, the core. Everybody's going to want to permit.
Throw Nisco in there, making a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Well, they're going to have to be a part of this. But it is essentially just what you see in the blue and black there. That still leaves Hobart with probably $7 to $10 million of pay-as-you-go projects. This is going to give us an outlet, but then we're going to have to go street by street by street through this entire neighborhood to, you know, basically puddle pop. We're going to have to get all these puddles and get them into the system. And that, while we have a very good, I believe, stormwater master plan, when this is in the ground, we've got to redo it, because then we've got to prioritize, okay, which of those streets go in what order, and how do we budget for that? How do we allocate for that? So while I know we're asking, You know, if you look at this, is we're not just asking for design. You're not naive. I'm not either. You know, that we're going to, we'll come back and ask for assistance with the construction. But it's still leaving us. You would help us have an outlet where we can fix these problems. But then we're still going to spend the next 20 or 30 years fixing these problems. And to your point, Chairman, about the more houses and more impervious surfaces, there really has not been any development in this area in 30 years. It is far too wet and has been for a long, long time.
That's the 90s, though. That's what's scary.
I know. I know. I mean, think about it. I think when the 80s were, right? But so this is, to me, this is more of a, you know, nature kind of taking this area back is what's happening. And it's the ditches being plugged with sediment. There, I think there's only been one development that I can think of since even in the 90s in that area, maybe 20 houses.
So as long as we're on that topic, can you go back to your slide that shows the two major scopes of work, the Turkey Creek west side and then the black, that's the blue system?
Yes.
So I'm looking at Google Earth and I'm looking at this. Let's just start at Liverpool Road. Okay, with those.
Yes.
And you go up a forested, big forested area. It's currently not developed. The to the, really south maybe.
It's south.
To the south, there's all open land. You come up, you go around this home that's there, so you can miss that.
Yes.
Then you go across another basically undeveloped area.
Yes.
You go.
If I know where you're going, if I could just tell you.
Then you cross the road. So to me, and the inundation maps don't show any impact in that entire segment. It's all on the other side of Liverpool or of 37.
Yes, that route, those three segments are unimproved existing right of way. So there's no land acquisition for us to be there.
So, but what necessitates that to begin with?
It's a financial and schedule consideration. And if there's a better way when we get into design of this thing to do it, we're open to that.
Well, but I'm saying there's nothing that's there that needs to be drained. Why? There's no houses there. There's nothing there. Why are we building this 7,000 foot of sewer if there's nothing that feeds into it?
On the blue line.
Correct.
So the marsh area there in the lower left corner of the screen is essentially the headwaters of lateral 6. And so we're getting there to a point where we can put a standpipe or some other kind of device in that will let the water in. So we're going to daylight there. And then so we just need to get from that low point as far as we can get into lateral 6 to divert more water. And in looking at the map, if I could go back to a previous point of what the disparity is of the extra water, some of the water that goes into the blue pipe is in the Stinky Creek watershed. Because it is, while the black pipe is sort of in the center of it, the side projects of the blue pipe down Ridgelawn, down 38th Place, those neighborhoods, 39th, are going to pick it up and take it out of that pipe. So that figure really is the black pipe, black line versus the blue line. It's not necessarily watershed. So I think maybe there's a mislabeling there rather than a discrepancy in the model.
Okay. So you're saying that feeds the problem. The blue is going to replace slow moving water that floods the neighborhood.
Well, the blue is actually taking water that wants to flow west right now into Gary and Maryville and taking it northeast. So that is the huge modification. The black line is just taking water that naturally wants to go that way and getting it there faster and getting it through the system and into a new point in Deep River. But the blue line is actually bucking the grade once you get south of Old Ridge Road, which is that diagonal road there where we're going around the house, and that issue right in there. So at some point that land is starting to fall off to the west toward I-65, but our pipe has to keep coming up because we need gravity to pull it to the north. And wherever we come out of the ground, right now, the study shows we come out of the ground about right there.
Right. Any other questions?
Excellent.
Yes, sir.
You had said earlier that if you had to choose one, you would choose the Stinky Creek project. In the construction cost, is the ditch factored into the one item then, if that was your only construction project moving forward? The ditch where it dumps into and then goes into Deep River. Is that factored into the construction cost of that?
I'd have to go back and look and see exactly how that was broken down. From what's on the drawing, I believe the black project could be standalone. Because that north-south, the very northern piece of this is part of that black. So I believe it's in the cost estimate of Stinky Creek. And like I said, lateral six, that idea came kind of midstream. It was in a conversation that, you know, we were having at the progress meeting that, you know, it happened to coincide with some work that I think the commission did out in that area with the county, with the beavers and all that. And it was like, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could just not have to mess with that anymore and send the water the other way? And so I believe we had an amendment to the contract for the study because there were extra costs for us to go back and see if that's even feasible. So it is the add-on.
Yes, sir.
Can you do me a favor, and when you guys get a chance, can you overlay what is conservancy or already set aside land protected habitat with the existing new proposed systems?
Yes, I believe we already have that in the study. I know we mapped out, you know, the existing, you know, the known wetlands and things like that. So we did some of that and tried to avoid those areas as best we could.
But I want to know on the map what is frozen in time for conservation.
Yep, we can do that.
Dan, do you have a copy of this study?
This study that they're referring to, I don't think so.
If you really made could share that with us, that would be
absolutely
outstanding.
I'd be happy to.
Any other questions? That was well done, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us this evening.
All right, moving right along. Other items, new business, the motion to approve. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve resolutions and interlocal agreements as presented in the agenda as items 9A through 9G, which have been previously approved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Repay.
As Commissioner Brodnick's already stated, these have all been applications that were approved by the board. No dollar amounts have changed. They have gone through legal review extensively, and they will provide a template for the future, hopefully. So they're all projects that you have been approved. So,
all right, there's any questions or discussions? Right. Mrs. Lambert, roll call, please.
Yes.
Tom Vazquez.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nivens.
Yes.
Dave Casalano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ritchie.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right. A lot of money going out.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to renew resolution number 2015-01B. For interlocal agreement with the town of Griffith for the operation and maintenance of the Katie Marsh Ditch. The funding for that is $50,000 per year.
There's a motion, second.
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, brief one.
This is to help fund the maintenance for a federal flood control project that didn't have a maintenance component. When we got our funding, we were going to fund this maintenance. For some reason, the agreement expired. This doesn't have an expiration date to it, so long as they pass their inspections.
Any discussion? Either none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schulte.
Yes.
Tom Vazquez.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nivens.
Yes.
Dave Casalano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ritchie.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Outstanding. All right, next up on the agenda, my favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to help us make sure something like that doesn't happen again, please come to the podium, state your name and address for Dan. Let's go. This is Lambert. Do you also check Zoom to see if anybody there is? Nope, no one's there. Really? This is one of the best entertainment values out there. Nobody showed up, huh? Hi, Sandy.
I am so pleased to hear you thinking about invasive species and expanding the 29th Avenue Prairie scope to consider, you know, what invasive species are going to be reaching towards it. Because it is a big fight, you know, to try to keep your natural areas in decent shape and have invasive species right next door. Well, I am so glad to hear you thinking of that. And I'm glad to hear that you're asking Tom for a overlay of the conservation areas relative to the Holbrook Stinky Creek project. That's awesome too. And I am concerned about the Stinky Creek project having an effect, and it could end up having a good effect or a bad effect, depending on how it's carried out. But the Stinky Creek line is going to go right next to the Stuart Maddox Prairie and the Holbrook Heritage Prairie. Stuart Maddox is owned by School City of Holbrook, and Holbrook Heritage is owned by DNR. So that line, you know, is now kind of a ditching, sort of messed up area anyway. But if it's disturbed, it needs to be cleaned up and, you know, not left in a state where it's going to be hard to manage. And next to River Forest School's prairie, which actually has a super high forested quality index of like 93. It's a very high quality place, even though it's really not under any kind of proper care. But the worst problem is the Phragmites coming through that exact ditch where the water is going to go from this project into the river. And that ditch was actually dug by Ross Township or Holbrook Township guy, the ditch and drain guy. I forget his name. But anyway, Tom got that ditch dug because he wanted a subdivision drain. And I know the mayor, Margaret Kupta, who was kind of a nice environmentalist, she called me up and she said, you should complain about this, you know. So I wrote a letter of opposition to the federal people about it when the newspaper legal notice came up. And I said, you know, they're doing this as a weapon and it's going to affect wetlands. And I guess then I called back because it got approved, and I called them back and they said, oh, the city engineer said there was no wetlands there. Because that was the old days when people just didn't pay attention. So I'm so glad that we're in here talking about taking care of Mother Nature a little bit better. And thank you for voting for the GEO project too.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Eric Sprenet, board member of the Northwest Indiana Paddling Association. I trust that you received the letter that I sent to you guys yesterday. Basically, in short, you have funded the Rock Riffle Project, which has a recreation component of boat passage through that rebuilt dam. Due to the structure in the faster flowing water, word is already getting out on social media that, hey, we have a new fun place to paddle here. But in my visit most recently on Saturday to the site, the access at the upstream and downstream end of that project is sorely lacking. I think I outlined that in my letter. I come here to ask personally also for consideration in building a quality access site at both ends of that project to fulfill the recreational potential of that project. There was also a safety issue with the grouting between the rock slabs and some observations on the weird current flow coming into the project, but the main thing is the access points upstream and downstream. I'd be happy to address any questions you guys might have.
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? There none, let's go down the line, Mr. Ware.
I guess just thank those for continuing to attend the meetings. Summertime, there's a lot of other options we could probably be doing tonight. And thanks to Holbert for the excellent presentation.
What did Kurt?
Kudos as well to Holbert for a very thorough presentation. That was your last time you guys presented. And I saw a lot of things that were much improved in what I would normally look for in terms of information from the application. So I appreciate that. Thank you, everyone, for coming out and being a part of the meeting and sharing your concerns. Last but not least, you know, we have a lot going on in our country and certainly around our world right now. And it's certainly a time for healing. So certainly a time for unity and, you know, developing relationships, you know, within our families, within our communities, so that we can do a better job at, you know, addressing our humanitarian issues. So just wanted to express that as part of our servanthood that we are obligated to do as commissioners to represent our communities and our state. Thank you.
Mr. Ochi.
And much to add, just thank you again for the comprehensive presentation. Really excellent job and foresight in thinking about things further down the line.
Mr. Wyszynski.
I just want to thank everyone for coming out and just want to wish all the dads out there Happy Father's Day coming up.
Mr. Gazdecki.
I will echo my previous statements of our commissioners to my right. Great job, Holbert.
Mr. Broadnax.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. Nothing else to add.
Mr. Nimitz.
I'd like to thank the City Board for the presentation and also the community members that attended tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Castellanos.
Yes, I'd like to first of all thank the City of Holbert also for the excellent job that they did. Also, I want to say kudos to our Commissioner Anthony Broadnax for taking over the show WLTH radio along with the IN University and with Gary Transit Authority promoting their it's called Transit the Trails. They're going to start offering tour groups along the Little Cal River starting this summer. And also I wanted to say though that I am very proud to be a part of this board because like the Commissioner Winnebricker was saying, we represent the full fabric of this nation here. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, the works, we represent them. And we come together, we have our differences. We are Republicans and Democrats. We do have our differences, but one thing we do when we get here is that we put all that aside and we look out for the quality and the life of the people of Northwest Indiana. So I just want to let you know that I'm very proud to be a part of this whole board with all you guys. Thank you. Thank you. And by the way, Dan, Joey, and our lawyer are doing a great job. And also to our resident engineer who's gone. So thank you.
All right, before I tell the last thing, the final thing for the public record is with condolences to the Gazdecki family and their loss, prayers with you. The next meeting is July 21st. Remember, it's always the third Wednesday. Check the website for information, including cool stuff having to do with what's going on as far as the watershed. And I'll entertain a motion.
So
motion to adjourn, and according to the new rules, we have to vote on that.
Yes.
Because we want to make it last longer.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely yes.
Yes.
Robert
Ochi. Yes.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great summer. See you next month.